The BS Report with Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons is brought to you by Lamisil AT Gel. It's proven to relieve the burn of athlete's foot between the toes. Once a day, 1 week, and you're done.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, welcome to the BS Report. This is our second three-time guest ever coming up. The first was Rick Bucher, who was on twice by himself and then was on with Mark Stein, which was technically a threesome, but I still think that counts as a three-time guest. This is our second three-time guest. He's the host of The Adam Carolla Show, which is syndicated all over the West Coast on the radio. He's got a movie coming out called The Hammer, which premieres March 21st in selected cities, and you can see what those cities are at thehammermovie.com. And also, and most important, he's Dancing with the Stars, starting Monday, March 17th on ABC, and maybe the most controversial decision any of my friends has ever made. So anyway, we're going to bring him right on. All right, let's bring him in. Adam Carolla, welcome to the show.
Oh, great to be back, Billy.
Thanks for fitting us in your busy schedule. I mean, yeah. This was sad. I actually had to, like, make arrangements to lock you in for a half hour.
I know. What has the world come to that I need to shoehorn in a Bill Simmons podcast?
I know. And we won't be able to do a movie idea this time. We won't have time. You have
yeah.
to come back.
I remember the days when I would come by, lay down a podcast, and we'd grab a cold one,
yeah.
catch a matinee,
yeah.
then a nap, then a spoon, then another podcast. Then you'd ask me how I liked my waffles the next morning.
I know.
And now it's right off to dance practice.
Those days might be back in about a week. First of all, congratulations on renouncing your heterosexuality, as Kimmel pointed out this week.
Thank you. It was more of a denouncing of it, but either way, it's gone.
It is. You might be able to get it back in like a year after people forget.
I feel like it'd be a fight in a year. I'm gonna give it an Olympic season, and then I should be able to wrestle my sexuality back.
I defend you in the following way. You have this movie coming out on March 21st, The Hammer, which
mm-hmm.
is really good.
Thank you.
You're doing what you need to do to promote it.
That's right.
Now, I don't think this is on par with, you know, the last few years of John Holmes' career when he started doing gay porn.
Yeah.
It's probably a couple levels below, but you're doing what you need to do.
By the way, and just to let you know how straight I am, that box set of John Holmes, the
yeah.
later years, rarely comes out of the cupboard.
Right.
Rarely. On
right.
rare occasion. Yeah, what I'm doing essentially here is it's like you lift an eyebrow because you find out the woman's a prostitute, and then you realize she's only doing it to take care of her ailing kids
right.
and her sickly mother, and now you give her a pass.
Right.
That's what I'm doing. I am prostituting my heterosexuality out doing Dancing in the Stars, but really to promote my boxing movie.
Right.
So in a way, maybe it makes me more heterosexual.
And more noble.
Also, I would say this, too, as far as the stigma of Dancing with the Stars. Not as bad in season number 5 as it was in 1 through 2 or 3. Do you
right.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I liken
great.
It a lot to the stud earring on the male. In 1961, the first guy that came home from college with a pierced ear had his dad, who was an ex-Marine and still kept the buzz cut, throw down the sports page, pull his belt out,
yeah.
and just beat the holy bejesus out of him right there in the living room. Now, kid comes home with a stud earring, no big deal, right?
Yeah.
It's a little of that with Dancing with the Stars.
Well, also, you know, this movie is basically loosely based on your life.
Sure.
You spend a lot of time and energy coming up with the script with our friend Hench.
Right, right.
And you filmed it.
Right.
You put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in it. Then you spent the last years trying to market it, and then finally now it's coming out. So it's a labor of love for you.
It is, and there's a couple things I will say about this movie. First off, it is a way to usurp the man, the studios, the big studio machine that doesn't want to put out a comedy unless Adam Sandler stars in it or Rob Schneider stars in it. In the past, you just had to sort of buy into the machine. But now, with the internet, with shows like your own, with people like yourself, my radio show, Kimmel's TV show, I feel like there's a way to do a movie on a grassroots, word of mouth, viral campaign that if the product is good enough, and this is a good product, can catch on and we can sort of stick it to the man.
Right. And yet, you know, the issue that you had is that it's a really good movie and it's really funny. And, you know, I know I don't have a lot of credibility saying that because you're my friend.
Right.
And I'd probably say that anyway. But it really is a good movie. And it's really funny. And I don't see how anybody who, first of all, enjoys this show or just kind of enjoys the kind of stuff that you and I like, I don't see how they wouldn't like this movie. But the issue is, you're Adam Carolla. You're the guy from The Man Show.
Right.
You're a radio host. And when you're trying to sell this movie to the studios, they're thinking, well, how do I market a romantic boxing comedy with Adam Carolla?
Right. And what people don't know, and they want to know why the batting average is so horrific when it comes to studios churning out comedies, is it's not about the script and it's not about the story. It's about who's attached to the script and the story.
Right.
If I made a number two onto a cocktail napkin right now and said Adam Sandler's attached to this, it would get made versus
right.
the greatest script in the world starring Adam Carolla and Bill Simmons.
Right.
It doesn't matter how funny they think you are or how long you've been in the game. If you've not made movies, you don't get to make movies. We decided to go out and make our own movie and then furthermore market our own movie. And if our little experiment works out, then this can be the new way of doing business. You
yeah.
no longer need the big studio machine.
Well, to your point, Juno would bounce around for like 2-3 years, and I think every studio in Hollywood passed on it 3 times.
Yeah, it seems like every single good script has that same story where it's kicked around for a number of years and put on a shelf and nobody wanted to make it, and thus you get the labor of love and all that stuff. As far as our movie goes, I thought if we wrote a good script, it would be a layup. We wrote a good script. We couldn't get it made. I thought if we made a good movie, it would be a layup. We made a good movie. We got some deals to distribute the movie, but they were generally, if it works out, we'll take half the money, and if it doesn't, who cares anyway, which didn't sound like a great deal to me.
Right.
And for me, I thought there's a third route, which is I go on my show, I go on your show, I go on Kimmel's show, I go on Leno's show, and we see if we can't do this ourselves.
Well, the worst case scenario,
and
this is the worst case scenario, is it's going to have a long, fruitful run on cable and become one of those movies that you're flipping channels, and it's like, oh.
Oh, Fred Williamson. What's, oh.
No.
No, it's the Carolla movie.
No, I think it's going to be one of those movies that you're flicking by and be like, ah, watch one scene.
I'll stick
and then
with
30
it.
Minutes later, you're still watching, even though you watched it a week ago.
Yeah.
That's the worst case scenario, which isn't terrible, except for your wallet. But
right,
I think
right.
you can do better than that with this.
I think we can. And, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is movies, I was just looking into it the other day, movies like Sideways
yep.
started on 4 screens and ended up on like 1,600 screens.
Right.
Why? Because people, good people like you people, heard about it from good people like us, went and saw it, and then spread the word.
Yep.
You then went back to your office and said, guess which movie I saw last weekend? You ought to go check it out. And the next thing you know, it spread. And in the realm of movies in particular, I still feel like word of mouth is worth something.
Yeah, and beyond that point, people actually like telling other people, oh, you got to see it. Oh, you haven't. You haven't seen The Hammer?
Right.
Oh, real? Oh, gotta see it.
It's,
they don't like having a movie like Charlie Wilson's War.
Right.
Where there's no benefit to the person for telling somebody, you gotta see this new Tom Hanks movie.
Right. It's like saying to somebody, hey, I discovered a great little Italian place right on the corner. It's a hole in the wall. It just opened up. It's awesome. Versus, there's a place called Arby's. Have you ever heard of it? Right. They want that little niche nookie. You didn't know it. It's right in your neighborhood. The linguine is awesome. Yeah, you like that. And this movie will be that movie that people will feel good about spreading the news on.
Now, for the DVD, are there deleted scenes where you do like Full Frontal or anything?
You know, if you think about it, Full Frontal sounds pretty bad, but Full Rearal is actually a bigger crime against God and humanity.
Yeah, Michael Douglas really mastered that from a disturbing standpoint.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to think what the deleted... Yeah, there are a lot of deleted scenes, but you won't miss them when you're watching the movie.
Right.
And I don't even know if we've whacked together the DVD yet, even though it's technically been sold. Not that you can buy it. It was sold to Harvey Weinstein's
company.
Well, when
you do the DVD, I think... I like the idea of just, like, seven director's commentaries on the same DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you do one with you and Kimmel. I think you do one with you and me. I think you do you, Gutenberg, and Jason Taylor.
We'll do the cluster F on the DVD commentary when it comes to it.
Yeah, so premieres on March 21st.
March 21st.
At the Arclight Cinema in Los Angeles.
Well, in Los Angeles, it's going to be at the Burbank 8. It's going to be at the Lemley whatever. And it may be at the Arclight.
Where's the big premiere?
The big premiere that you'll be walking down the red carpet with and to will be at the Arclight on the 19th.
Right.
Then the movie itself will come out on the 21st. So, yes, premiere on Wednesday.
By the premiere thing.
Yeah, I do, too. But you do the premiere. Well, basically, it's the only night we could get a theater in the Arclight. So, Wednesday, big red carpet premiere. Friday, movie comes out.
But really, your movie premiered last year at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Yeah, but I guess that was minus the star-studded red carpet Dancing with the Stars business.
So that was the original premiere.
Right.
This is the red carpet premiere.
Right.
And then Friday is the theatrical release.
Right. And if you go to www.thehammermovie.com or you just Google In the Hammer, you'll then find out where the movie is playing, what city it's in, and what theater near
you. It's in like eight cities starting out, right?
Maybe 8 or 10.
Lot of the cities where you have radio shows already.
All the ones I have radio affiliates in, plus New York and San Francisco, Arizona, and San Diego. And then probably 3 or 4 theaters in each one of those cities. And then you go out, you enjoy the movie, you tell your friends, and then we're in Chicago, Boston, and Philadelphia the next week.
I'd call it a date movie. I would.
Yes, strangely went out to do a boxing comedy and ended up with a chick flick that guys enjoy.
But I'd say it's more of a sports movie than a chick flick, but there's enough of the chick flick in that your girlfriend, wife, or lady you're sleeping with.
Look, there are not going to be many boxing movies you're going to be able to talk the old lady into. Ving Rhames heading back to prison to take on Wesley Snipes
right. In
a bamboo cage. You're going to have a little difficulty talking the old lady into that one. This one, strangely, women like it as much as guys do, if not more, in its own bizarre way, which is not to say for a second that guys aren't going to enjoy this film, but it has a nice broad, pardon the pun, universal appeal.
Well, I hope it does well. I hope it does well. Let's talk about Dancing with the Stars.
Sure.
Because we don't have a lot of time. So your marriage is still safe.
Right. I've not eloped with my partner yet.
The 19-year-old Mormon who almost seems like she's become a little sister to you, which I think is a good thing.
Right. Although I keep explaining, you know, when she goes, "I'm Mormon," I keep hearing "more man." Do you know what I mean? You're
right. Asking
for more man.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't mean anything to me. I just heard more man.
You getting hooked up with her was probably the best thing that could have happened to you for this because everybody loves her.
Yeah.
So no matter how bad you are, you're sticking around for like 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, she's America's sweetheart. I fear what we have going for us is, you know, like The Bachelor, they'll have some good-looking blonde-haired guy with blue eyes, and he's a super hunk, and then they'll have 25 chicks, and they always toss in one black chick.
Right.
And they toss her in because they're trying to be even-handed about the whole thing.
Yep.
And that black chick never gets voted off in the first round because the guy doesn't want you to think he's racist.
Right.
But he's not into her.
Yep.
So they go a couple rounds and then he kicks her off. I'm like the black chick on The Bachelor.
I like that.
I got a few good rounds into me just because America's so in love with my, by the way, bigger than me celebrity.
Yeah.
She's got like a country album dropping, a TV guy and E and Access Hollywood. They're all over her every second. But my, partner's America's sweetheart. She is so foxy and so beautiful that America can't bear to part with her.
But foxy, not in a slutty way. Foxy in a, she could be my daughter or I would set my son up with her and they could go to drive-in movies together kind of way.
Yes, and if I set my son up with her, I would also set the nanny cam up in the son's hamper because I would need to know what was going on in that room. Be interesting explanation to the old lady. Yeah. Why is the nanny cam in the hamper? I don't know. Listen, you do things your way, I do things my way.
It's for security.
But our son is—he's 22. Yeah, enough said already. Place could be bugged.
You know the black contestant of The Bachelor, I've always compared to Gonzaga in the NCAAs. They always make it like two rounds.
Right.
They kind of get America behind them a little bit, and then it's over.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happens to you, but you haven't been rehearsing enough, have you?
I've
to really seriously win.
I've been doing about 2 hours in change.
2 hours.
6 days a week.
But don't some people, like Yamaguchi's got to be doing like 17 hours a day.
Well, as I was saying to the other folks when we were driving the limousine into Oprah's place,
yeah.
Life's taken a turn for the surreal, I must say. I said, look, everybody, our real competition, she wasn't in our limousine, but they'd broken it up. I unfortunately was sitting next to Penn Jillette, whose knees were about 8 foot apart. You know the guys who sit next to you in the limousine in like a good couple acres of real estate between they really like to air it out in there.
Yeah.
And he's 300 pounds and 6'9". Anyway, and he's got a ponytail that's hitting you in the face. You know, it's been soaked in Grecian formula, so you're getting high on those fumes. And we're all talking, you know, who's going to win this? Who's got the advantage? Of course, no one's talking about anyone who's in our limo. We're talking about, so Yamaguchi's. So I say, listen, folks, what you guys have failed to bring up is Christy Yamaguchi. This chick was born skating. She was born on a block of ice. I mean,
it's the same brain set that skating and dancing, I think.
Well, it's almost, and then someone said, yeah, but that's ice skating. I said, you know what that's like saying? That's like saying, sure, the guy can juggle on a unicycle, but let's see how he does it on the hardwood floor. It's like, I bet he could handle it.
Yeah.
I bet if you can do incredible dance moves with an eighth of an inch of steel strapped to your high top boot on a frozen block of ice, I'm sure you could pull it off on the parquet. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, she's not going to get nervous. She never
performs
more nervous
at
the
Olympics in front of the world in the most prestigious whatever. And she has been doing choreographed dance routines since what? Do you think she started in her 20s?
Eight would be
the over.
Yeah.
I mean, the under is probably, I mean, you want to get started. If you want to be an Olympic level ice skater, you probably start around 4 or 5.
Right.
And the first thing you do is learn a choreographed dance routine.
And how to do the over the top gestures and
right,
facial expressions.
The whole thing. So I said to everybody, what we have working against us is Christy Yamaguchi is incredibly poised, incredibly experienced, and has a ton of dance and choreography experience. On the other hand, she's Japanese, and those people have no work ethic. So she's probably going to be drinking her way right through this thing. Do you know what I mean?
And she's like the perfect storm.
I know. There's no.
The odds on her are only like 5-2, and I can neither confirm or deny reports that I have placed money on that.
I think she could do her first dance in a clan outfit and still probably take that trophy home. Like, who's going to beat her? Now, it is a bit of a popularity contest, though.
True.
On the other hand, and she may be a little shy, not have the personality, and also, as my instructor keeps repeating to me, people like to see improvement. See, the judges don't want to see someone just a 10 flat line straight on through. They want to start off. They want to see somebody who has two left feet at the beginning and then works their way
like
up.
The Rocky Balboa type.
The Rocky Balboa.
Working his way out of the doldrums.
Right, right.
So you also have a major advantage because, well, I can't say because I've never watched the show. I mean, literally,
right.
I've not watched 1 minute until Monday night when I'll be watching. But
sure.
It seems like sense of humor is going to be an advantage because
it will.
Everybody's so grim.
Yeah,
the show, and they're nervous.
It
if you're cracking jokes, people will want you to stay.
It should help. It should help. Again, I have a good, you know, America sweetheart. And I told her honestly, I said, look, I have a movie coming out. I have twins. I have a radio show. I'm gainfully employed. I have a great life. I have great friends. I have a great family. I'm going to give you 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, and we'll do as good as we can do with that. This part.
Are you talking to your wife or your partner?
No, Lynette, I said, my wife, I said, I give you 15 minutes a week. Whatever you can do with that, TiVo on, knock yourself out, sweetie.
Right.
No, there are people that are going 6 hours a day, but Gutenberg
for a reason.
Is in between gigs, and Jason Taylor is in between seasons.
Wait a second.
And
Gutenberg is more than in between gigs. I think he's in between generations.
He's in between Short Circuit 15 and the Police Academy 19.
You know what killed him?
Hmm.
When he went serious for that one film with Elizabeth McGovern, Bedroom Window.
Ah, is that what
happened?
That was
it. The wheels came right off. Nobody wanted to see, like, Steve Guttenberg in a thriller. They want to see him with a police uniform on.
I'll have that uncomfortable conversation with him Monday in the trailer. Compliments of Bill Simmons, the sports guy. Well, I can tell you this. I will do the best I can do on 2 hours a day.
I think you'll be okay.
All right.
I think you have the partner, you have the sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
So two major advantages.
Very true.
And worst case scenario, if you get bounced after 2 weeks, you still promoted your movie. In fact, some could say you might should just throw this.
I probably
after
should.
The third week.
Well, one way I was planning on throwing it was I had an 11-minute diatribe on how the were responsible for that I was going to launch into, where I do that thing where I grab Bergeron. Bergeron's a diminutive man. You know, it'd be very easy for me just to grab his hand mic and keep him at bay while I was on my crazy diatribe. Eventually, security comes out and tackles me. I'm screaming into the mic as I'm being, avenge me. I'm screaming as I'm being dragged out of the studio. That would for sure get me on Entertainment Tonight.
Or you could fake the injury.
Ah. That's right.
I was
right.
Thinking you did like, I don't know, like Pele and Victory or something where
mm-hmm.
just,
yeah,
you roll over. Ah!
There was a scene in Pepillon where Steve McQueen threw himself down the gangplank from the prisoner ship on leading to Devil's Island just
yeah.
so he could get put in the hospital. I may pull one of those moves.
The
yeah.
back. Do it.
The
no
back is awesome.
You have a bad back. Ah!
Oh.
Lean forward.
Yeah, I'm going to go see Conway Specialist later on today. Drew, I need some oxycodone. Yeah, the back no one can argue with.
Or, if you really wanted to go, you could do the Costner and American Flyers.
Mm.
Have the fake blood come out of your nose. Pretend like you know, you're having a brain problem.
Got a little dizzy.
And then for the last few episodes, you're there in the wheelchair.
Right.
Watching, and they just keep showing you, and America feels bad for you, and then they feel like they have to go to the movie.
Better yet, stroke cane.
Stroke
the cane that stands up when you let it go, which I argue is now a walker. I say if you take a cane, and you stand it up, and you let it go, and it doesn't fall over, it's a walker. That's how it makes it into the walker family. It's no longer a cane.
Yeah, I think that would be my advice for you.
Ooh.
You throw it in week 3.
Uh-huh. Fake stroke.
But somewhere we have either the cane or the wheelchair.
I'm going to have to because they say, you know, we've had like 3 weeks to prepare.
Yeah.
Once the show gets up and running, you have like 4 days in between totally new dance routines, which thus means 5 and 6 hour rehearsals. And then when I was talking to my partner, I was like, well, what about the end as it gets down to the final four and the final two? And she was like, some people are going 8, 10, and 12 hours. of dancing a day. Could you imagine?
And people don't fully understand what kind of a commitment that is for you. I mean, it's a commitment to get you to, like, go to a breakfast.
But do you realize, like, I don't have 2 hours combined dancing in my entire life. If you took every wedding I've ever been to and took every time I hit the dance floor to Moni Moni by Billy Idol, it would not equal one dance session I've done thus far.
I don't know how this is going to turn out. I really don't.
Well,
it's one of those things. I love to make predictions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to predict for this.
Well, here's what I would say about it. And because you're the sports guy, you'll understand. And I've said this to every single person. And by the way, people, if you see me on the street or you pass me in the car and you roll the window down, please stop asking me if I'm nervous. It's horrible etiquette. I wasn't nervous.
All that does is going to
make you
nervous.
But if I get asked a 33rd time today if I'm nervous, eventually I will start following your advice and become nervous. Here's what I say to people. I know my dance routine. I'm executing it fairly well, and it should work out okay. But the example I use is... Take Steve Kerr or Steve Nash or some other guy who is 85% from the stripe. You know what I mean? He shoots a very good free throw. Does not mean he can't rim one out every once in a while. So even though you've rehearsed, even though you've practiced, even though you're feeling pretty good about yourself, you could still pull up to that stripe and clunk one off the rim.
I'm not worried about you being nervous. I'm worried about you getting sweaty. I think that's the real issue.
I could be sweating.
What kind of, like, shirt are you going to wear?
Oh, I could sweat right through a shirt. Well, they give you a tuxedo, the first one, so I don't have to worry about
that. Tuxedos are hot, though.
Oh, I will be sweating.
Yeah,
no doubt.
But you have a legitimate sweating problem, though.
I'm a big sweater, so I will definitely be sweating. On the other hand, it's a dance competition. So if you go up there and you're doing the Tonight Show and you're sitting next to Jay Leno and there's beads of sweat rolling down your face, that seems like you're some politician who got busted for drugs.
Right.
But if you do a dance competition and you're done dancing and you're standing in front of the judges and you're sweating, at least you have an excuse for sweating.
That's a good point. And also, you've been in more nerve-wracking situations than I think a lot of the people that are in this competition. Actors... they only have to get nervous when the guy's like, "And action." But I think it's a little different when you're in front of a live audience, live.
I've hosted award shows and things like that.
And Tonight Show is about as nervous as somebody's going to get, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, one could argue that a minute and a half verse of something physical versus sitting down and trying to be funny for 10 minutes.
Especially
on
a show like where you don't know what to do with your legs and the couch, you're naked.
Yeah, you do that thing where you try not to jiggle your foot, which you do when you're nervous, you forget about it and all that kind of stuff. Listen. It'll be a huge adrenaline rush when I hit the dance floor. But also, as far as nerves, I'm 25-1. This is essentially a 12-person race that I've been picked to come in 25th.
With a partner who has won before.
Twice before.
Right.
That, by the way, so once in a while I start thinking about it, I start getting nervous, and then I realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm Jerry Springer.
Yeah,
society looks at me as Jerry Springer or what's his name from SportsCenter?
Kenny Mayne.
Or Kenny Mayne or whoever else. I'm looked at as a doofus through the eyes of society.
Yeah.
The guys who should be worried are the Latin telenovela stars. You know, Christian, what's his name? The good-looking Latin guys who everyone thinks it was a 3-1, whatever. Those guys should be nervous, not the doofuses. People expect me to fall on my face. I'm a comedian.
So you're going out there with nothing to lose.
I am, and as I've said to my dance partner many times, you can tell me I'm a horrible dancer. It will not hurt my feelings whatsoever. I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
If you tell me my radio show sucks, if you tell me my movie stunk, if you tell me my last Kimmel appearance blew, you will hurt my feelings.
My DVD collection sucks.
Right. If you tell me any of that stuff, I will feel bad. It'd be like me telling you you're a horrible carpenter. Who cares?
I would admit it.
You would admit it and say, fine, I make a ton of money writing about sports.
Last question about the Dance with the Stars thing. What's the best insult that one of your friends has come up with about this?
Dancing, as far as Dancing
you
with the Stars?
The yeah.
Mainly a lot of double entendre, gay stuff, where I've just been, added to their collection of gay friends. You know, with Kimmel, there's plenty, you know, there's insults coming left and right. But a general just sort of demeaning scarlet letter placed around me.
The funny thing about Kimmel is that if he wasn't working on his own show for like 14 hours a day, he would absolutely do Dancing with the Stars. And not only that, but he would rehearse for like 12 hours a day and get more competitive than anybody else.
I know. And yet he cast a stone from his glass house.
He's such a hypocrite.
Thank you.
All right. So you got Dancing with the Stars premiering Monday, March 17th.
That's right.
You have The Hammer, world premiere March 19th, coming out theatrical release March 21st, Los Angeles, San Diego. Go to thehammermovie.com.
Right.
And check out all the release dates there.
Yeah, you can read some really good reviews, see the trailer, and see where it's at as far as a theater near you.
And then after this is all over, you're coming back, and we got to come up with another fake movie.
We're going out to eat, and then we're going to see Rambo 4.
Is it still in the theater?
No, but we're having a DVD party.
Oh, we got to watch Cliffhanger again, because I was just watching that a week and a half ago.
I will watch it anytime
with anyone. You know what's funny
about
Cliffhanger? My wife actually gets upset now when it's on.
Really?
Yeah. It's like she does that. No! No! You just watch this.
The most underrated movie ever.
I can't get it. One last question about Cliffhanger. When you have the head bad guy, and
right.
he's got like the seven henchmen, and they're all going to allegedly split the money.
Lithgow.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I'm saying Lithgow, but I'm saying in general. This is a movie premise. Somewhere during the movie, the head guy just shoots one of the other henchmen or doesn't seem to care that one of the guys died. None of the other henchmen seem to say, wait a second.
Right.
This guy just shot him. I mean, how do I know I'm going to get the money? And they'll still like risk their lives for this guy.
Yeah, he didn't want to whack up the cash six ways. What are the chances he's going to want to whack it up five ways?
Yeah.
Also, the cool move they used to do in the 80s and 90s, they don't really do in the movies anymore, is when the henchman pulls the gun out, you think he's going to, the lead bad guy, he pulls the gun out, you think he's going to kill one of his henchmen, he holds it up and then immediately turns it to the left and kills the other guy.
Right.
So now it's a kind of, you know, kind of pin the tail on the donkey of who this guy, this guy's so maniacal. The one guy screwed up, you think he's going to kill him, he puts a slug in the forehead of the guy standing directly to his left who didn't even do anything.
Right.
That's the guy you got to look out for.
Yeah. See, if The Hammer makes it, you and I are going to, you will then become a movie mogul.
Yes.
And you and I will write one bad action movie and get it done.
Cliffhanger again, Cliffhanger 2.
We won't even call it Cliffhanger 2, we'll call it Cliffhanger 3 to confuse people.
Shouldn't Lithgow get an honorary Academy Award from his work with The World According to Garp, where he played a 9-foot transvestite, and then Cliffhanger.
I agree.
Any more range than those two roles.
I agree. And Garp is one of those movies that, for some reason, always sucks me in.
Yep.
I like the movies that spread. Maybe that's what we'll do. We'll write a movie where it spreads over 25 years, and you get to watch the guy grow up and cheat on his wife. And I like those movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back, and then he gets shot in the end.
Time traveler. Yeah.
Time traveler. So anyway, go see The Hammer, because if it works, eventually Adam and I will have one bad movie in us.
Lithgow stars is the time traveler.
All right. Good luck with all this stuff.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks for coming up.
My pleasure.
All right.
Target percent off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.